This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. Malaysia's first and longest running environmental film festival, the Kuala Lumpur Eco Film Festival, returns for its 11th installment this year. Under the theme Forests, Water and Climate Change, the film selections will tackle these issues and the environmental heroes that are making a difference in these areas. And I find out what's in store at the festival from Yasmin Rashid, the founder and president of Econites. Welcome, Yasmin. How are you today?
Hi, Juliet. Nice to be here again.
Good to have you back on the sure, always a pleasure. So, Yasmin, correct me if I'm wrong. This idea for the film festival was born over a teh tarik, if I remember correctly.
Yes,
you're telling me this many years ago. And here you are 11 years later.
11 years, 11 long years.
Yes.
Exciting years.
Just remind us about that story, you know, why you thought a film festival was the way to kind of spread, like, I suppose, green messages.
Right. Well, I mean, a little bit of background. I studied abroad in the US where film festivals, small community festivals are so common. And I was always a fan. It's a little short form of escapism from books where you get to enjoy films. And I took a lot of film classes back in university. I had a class called Religion and Film. And then there was this film festival which was focusing more on indigenous communities. And I thought it was brilliant to use films as a medium to raise awareness, consciousness. And this whole festival vibe was so conducive for someone like who wasn't plugged in into the issue. But I just went randomly, thought I'd explore something new. And I ended up leaving with so much more, not just friends, new friends, but more. I was more informed. I was more engaged in the issue. I didn't know the other challenges indigenous communities in the U.S., the Native Americans face, you know, with their ancestral lands, and so on and so forth. So in 2008, when Econites was just a couple of years old, and as usual, I was hanging out with interns, taking a teh tarik break, and this thought just kept coming back, like, why are we not using a lot more creative approaches? Mm-hmm. As a platform to get more people to be engaged in these issues.
Yeah.
And I heard of other film festivals that were happening in the country, but they had a bit more of the commercial tone to it.
Sure.
Obviously, environment was not at that stage yet. And to cut the story short, I bit the bullet and I said, you know, fine, no one has done it before, but it doesn't mean just because no one has done it before that it's not a potential platform to be explored.
Sure.
So back then, 2008, we had only 6 Malaysian films on environment.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
10, 11 years later, I'm really proud to see we're hitting the double digits now. I think we have about more than 50 films coming from our own homegrown filmmakers. So we in a decade, we have increased that number, not by a lot, but gradually. I think this is a sign that there is growing interest on environmental stories.
Because, you know, even if they do make the films, there was never quite that platform to present it, you know, like a concentrated platform with a focused theme, with a focused kind of, focus, obviously.
Yeah.
So it's wonderful that this has come about. And just take me back to, you know, 2008. I think even then, I knew you back then, and it was a small little thing. It was, where did you have the first one? Was it UM? Or?
It was in Aswara.
Aswara,
yes.
Okay. Yeah, I remember.
So we had no money because we were new in this and we're not really expert festival organizers as well. So we relied a lot on really great partnerships with institutions, with government agencies and even radio stations. Like BFM as well has been really, really strongly supporting us with getting the word out. So it has always been that kind of format. It's very community-centric. It's very bottom-up approach. Mm-hmm. It still pretty much is that way.
And I remember then it sort of grew to, like, you had it in UM, then you started having more fringe activities as well, not just the film festival. And
what we have done is open up the floodgates. We realized we cannot be the only ones organizing this. This is something everyone must have a sense of belonging.
Mm-hmm.
So over the last few years, we've had we've opened it up. Like if you're an NGO, you're a company, and you really think you need to get a message, a strong message out with the environment, just plug in into this festival and see what we can do.
Yeah. And I mean, how would you describe the expansion, you know, over the last 11 years? How would you say it has grown?
It has grown in a sense, it's a bit more structured now. Yeah. It's a bit more structured. It has a bit more form and shape. We are also reaching out to a lot of new partners, new activities. We this year we have a new component called Act for SDGs, because the Sustainable Development Goals is something we want more Malaysians to know about or hear about, and also to know what their role is. So we partnered with many NGOs, from Roots and Shoots Malaysia to Tatana Roots, to even people like Green Drinks, and the Ministry, MESTEC as well, Ministry of Environment, Science, Technology and Climate Change.
That one's a mouthful, yeah.
It's super mouthful.
But from everything that's happened over the 11 years, maybe, you know, what would you say you've witnessed as, you know, as a direct or indirect result of KLEFF, of the Ecofilm Festival, like change that has happened?
Well, there are many, many components to the festival. What we do for the films, we track the perspective of the audience that has watched these films. So more than 75% of them, based on 2017 data, have expressed interest, or at least positive interest in the films that we have screened, which actually is a very big component of data gathering, because we're already trying to figure out what's 2019's theme. But to do that, we have to figure out what people would like to hear more of this year.
Yeah.
Another aspect would be the green market. I think that one tangibly is giving us very good data. We always think green products and services are slow to pick up, yeah? Because either it's the price factor, or people are not aware about it or don't know how to incorporate it into their daily lives. We have data from sales of the green market that happens every year, that the sales actually are very encouraging. There are some local entrepreneurs that are selling eco-friendly products and services, earning four to five digit in terms of sales at the festival.
Wow.
We hope this is an opportunity for entrepreneurs to look at growing or scaling up their businesses at the CLEF platform, and also getting the word out. In terms of workshops and activities, actually all the activities are designed based on feedback from the public.
Of course.
So you've got a very strong peak interest in farming, food production. So that was featured last year to an amazing crowd at our Food for Future Forum. And this theme is recurring again this year, because I think people now want to know what technologies are out there, what can I do at home, where is my support group. So if you look at our CLEF website, I think at least 5 workshops is focused specifically on farming, urban farming, all the way from adults to 5-year-olds as well, learning how to compost, what's vegetable farming, and so on and so forth. So we're very organic in that sense and how we design our activities. But the biggest change, I think, would be the people that that have worked with us. We have seen some partners really go out there because of through this CLEF platform, maybe reaching out to more people now, getting more engagement. Our volunteers are also another miraculous bunch, because we feel the post-CLEF effect with them.
Okay.
When they bring the word back to the universities, when they bring it back to their workspaces. And without them, I don't think CLEF can continue beyond just the festival weekend to enhance people's understanding about the environment through the films that we have.
And I mean, that's what you want, isn't it? The conversation to keep going long after that one weekend, as you mentioned.
Because not everyone can come for that weekend, to be honest. You know, it's end of the month. People may want to have a break. But we want the fact that film can service the public beyond just CLEF, because we're sitting on thousands of films that has the potential to raise awareness and consciousness, where be it in the school or in the office.
And it's great that you you know, every year you take what the audience are craving for, and you know, incorporate that into your festival as well, because that's what's important as well, right? We think we have an idea of what people need to know, but you know, then you get that feedback.
It's always good to have feedback.
I'm speaking today to Yasmin Rashid. She's the founder and president of Eco Nights, and we're discussing the 11th Kuala Lumpur Eco Film Festival 2018. And the theme this year is forest, water and climate change. And we're going to discuss that after this quick break. You are listening to Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. This is Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, and I'm Juliet Jacobs. In the studio with me today is Yasmin Rashid. She's the founder and president of Eco Nights, and Eco Nights are the organizers of the 11th Kuala Lumpur Eco Film Festival 2018. The theme this year is forest, water and climate change. So yes, why was this the theme for this year? Why was the chosen theme?
We were struggling to look at trying to engage more public or even companies to address climate change issues. Mm-hmm. And we put the word forest and water there, hopefully or psychologically or subconsciously, to get people to understand that forests, ecosystems, water ecosystems are interconnected to this whole bigger issue of climate change. I think, I'm not sure whether it's understanding that's low, or maybe regurgitating this bigger picture of climate change is a bit of a challenge here. So we hope that by highlighting the interlinks between these ecosystems, we can then look at every part of environment actually is related to climate change. Mm-hmm. And therefore, it's our duty to look at how we can plug in, to look at how we can reduce our impact on it.
Mm-hmm. And also, I guess, you know, how we all need to really start acting now. It's
We're
quite late.
We're very late. But there's still hope.
There's always hope. Walk me through some of the films. I know that there's films broken down into those particular topics. Am I correct? Forest, water and climate change. And I know I saw on the website, you know, the 10 must-watch films under each of these categories. So walk me through them.
I'm actually looking forward to a film by local filmmaker Linus Chung. It's going to feature our deputy minister, Dr. Ong Kian Ming.
Oh.
He's actually the star of this short documentary, which details how he kayaks from the upper reaches of Sungai Klang right up to the lower reaches, what he saw. And it's really a really good testimonial on how human impact dramatically changes the entire riverine landscape in the city area. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking forward to that. And he has verbally said he will be coming. So it'll be interesting to see him wear multiple hats, not just as a deputy minister, but also as a star in the film. And also, I think he's got some hands in terms of the production aspect as well.
Okay.
I hope the crowd, the audience will be entertained and take the opportunity to talk to Kian Ming about this. A second film that I really recommend is called The Sun on Top of the House. It's by Canadian filmmaker Farhan Umadeli. Now, Farhan has won 2 years ago on his film called Last Stand for Lilu, which is basically about a Malaysian oil and gas company entering a Canadian ancestral land for a massive gas pipeline,
right,
which has subsequently, after the film was screened, was stopped. It was beautiful because we had the chief of the tribe send us a video thanking CLEF for allowing Malaysians to watch the film and to tell the story of how Malaysia companies are impacting an environment outside the country. Right? This is something less heard and less talked about. Yeah. We always talk about what people do in our country, but we sometimes fail to see what other companies here are doing outside as well.
Mm.
So Farhan is back with his second film about the same community, except this community now has gone entirely solar.
Wow.
From their places of worship to their homes, they've gone 100% renewable energy. And you're talking about a Native American tribe living in Canada. And I think it's very inspirational. Of course, There are probably a lot of political and economic issues in place because it seems quite accessible for them to go solar.
Okay.
Right? Renewable is accessible to them. I think something we should probably discuss and talk about after watching the film within the Malaysian context, how accessible and affordable is renewable here in Malaysia?
Yeah, because there's always that talk of pushing towards it, but it's like you said, it's just not the most accessible thing.
Yeah.
And there's still talk of like our own Prime Minister saying we need to go more into coal, and that should not be the case. Farhan is he's going to be here in Malaysia for the festival as well.
Yeah, he's arriving 2 days from now, and he's also going to be running 2 master classes in filmmaking. I've signed up for that as well because I think it's hard to find a time of a dedicated filmmaker to come and run these courses.
Yeah.
One will be on drone videography because Farhan is very big on a lot of drone imageries. I hope Malaysian filmmakers or budding filmmakers will use the opportunity to come. Another workshop would be, how do you tell a really good environmental story, which I think would be great for up-and-coming filmmakers or even those that are interested in generating more impactful audiovisual materials.
Okay, all right. But before we get into the workshop, let's talk more about the films. I mean, there are local and international films, obviously. What are some other things that, you know, we should keep a lookout for?
Actually, so what we have done for this year's films is we have arranged it according to these 3 major themes, forest, water, and climate change. So it's easy for the audience now to just figure out, okay, if I want to watch all films about forest, it's on Tuesday at this time.
Right.
This is, again, based on feedback from last year, because I think sometimes there's too much to watch. You just don't have that much time. It's 101 films this year.
Wow.
So I doubt anyone will stay throughout the entire period to watch all the films. So it's I would look at encouraging any of you out there to go ahead to the website and see which theme that you're interested in, and then check on how you can get all these tickets online and so on and so forth.
Okay, all right. And then let's talk a little bit about the workshops and talks. There's, as you mentioned earlier, Act for SDGs. And I know under that there's something, the Wildlife Conservation Forum.
It's fully booked now, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, we're trying to get more seats on board.
Okay. Well, what is that about anyway?
So I was mentioning to you, we're working with partners. We open up the floodgates and ask people to plug in because we've got this platform and we really need to share it with as many people as possible. So when we opened this up, the Society of Conservation Biology contacted us through its president and vice president, Dr. Pelf Nyok.
Mm-hmm.
And we all know she's like a super terrapin expert, super young. I think she's won many awards from the Queen of England as well. So when we heard, she was like, I'm going to run a conservation forum featuring all the youngest conservationists in this country.
Wow.
And you know what? I was like, you know, if this was done 20 years ago, I'll probably be a conservationist today. Because the opportunities I think young Malaysians have today to understand what the ecosystem is and the environment is so dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
So the forum is happening, I think, on a Wednesday or Thursday.
Don't
it's
going
to feature 15 top Malaysian conservationists. They're all under 30. They're really young. They're all founders of either a Gibbon Protection Society or Sun Bear or Orangutan. And I think if you're looking to be inspired and you're looking to figure out where to volunteer best to give back to wildlife conservation, this forum is the forum to attend and be exposed to the people and the network that is a place.
I mean, the people who are actually doing the work, who are on the ground, who understand the situation.
Yeah.
And like you said, so young and
young, dynamic, speak well, teach well. I'm like, this is the new face of Malaysian conservationists. And I'm really proud that they've chosen CLEF to be a platform to launch some of their programs and activities as well.
Wonderful. I mean, we've spoken to Pelf on the show and she's amazing. She's just,
amazing.
You know, so dedicated. She's grown, you know, the terrapin conservation in Kamaman, you know, amazing, amazing young thing.
Yeah, I can't wait to shake her hands again.
And of course, there are lots more workshops, like you said. There's workshops for even children.
Yes.
Tell us about some of the ones that are available.
most of the workshop for children are over the weekend because we realize parents are only free during the weekends.
Yeah.
So we've got paper straw making, we've got vegetable farming for kids, we have a small compost revolution for kids as well, a lot of upcycling workshops. In fact, together with Jane Goodall's Roots and Shoots Malaysia, there will be a wildlife art exhibition and all the artwork are done by children.
Wow.
So come and support the amazing work and the amazing messages that the children are trying to send. And I think most of the workshops are designed such a way that the adults can, drop off their kids for an hour and a half, and enjoy a little bit of sustainable shopping, catch a film or two, and pick up your kids after you're done, or join in the workshop as them as well.
Okay. And there are, I mean, if they choose to go for workshops themselves, of course, there's workshops for the adults as well, right?
Yes. We've got, if you're into permaculture, we've got one on Permies Meetup. We have those that are into making your own recipes at home, making your own kombucha.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Also, a few on indigenous arts and crafts. We have some really nice Bonyo dance workshops if you want to get back in touch with the culture, arts of, East Malaysia. We have one done by Shak Koyok, which is a self-portrait of Orang Asli. He's teaching you a little bit of indigenous art as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very broad range of workshops because sustainability is broad as such as well. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And I guess this is for all age groups? That's for
all age groups,
okay.
Yeah. From as young as 4 or 5 years old to, I think, the sky's the limit. There's no maximum age.
And, of course, there will be also other performances, as you mentioned. Music performances as well?
Music and cultural. So this year, we're like I said, we're lucky we're working with partners like DBKL,
mm-hmm,
or even River of Life. So they're plugging in by contributing some cultural dance, and this would be more towards the weekend. And we also have local singer-songwriters that are strong advocates of the environment, like Peter and Markiza Hassan, that will be belting out the tunes about the polar ice caps melting and the polar bears. And so they're very famous for their songs on the environment. So we hope that this would be an opportunity to entertain the children and the parents as well,
uh-huh,
through song and music.
Okay. And then, of course, Green Market
oh,
is happening.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I'm heading there soon. I'm going to bring my recycle back there. There's loads of things to check out, from organic food, pre-loved clothing item, to NGOs that are promoting their sustainability programs and so forth. So it's really a marketplace designed to promote Sustainable Development Goal 12, which is sustainable consumption and production. So we have some tech startups there as well, some food waste management companies, and most importantly, I think these are local businesses that we are supporting because we believe that through CLEF, it is at least our responsibility to help them grow,
mm-hmm,
as green entrepreneurs as well as green businesses. So it's from today, Monday, right up to Sunday, 10 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Okay, and this is happening over at Publica.
Yes,
okay.
Publica.
And I, like you said, just remember to bring your reusable bag.
Yes. Either if you don't have a reusable bag, you can spend a minimum of 50 ringgit, you will get a reusable bag. But then I'm pretty sure everyone has tons of those bags at home. So don't waste. It's good to spend more than 50 ringgit too, but please bring your own bags because we don't have any plastics on site.
Okay. All right. Yeah. And there'll be, of course, food and, I mean, everything. It's just everything.
It's like a very nice family festival fairground. You can bring your picnic mat if you want, sit in the square and bring your snacks and enjoy the performances while enjoying exhibitions and meeting new people.
Okay. And I think it's important to mention that there are limited spaces for the workshops and for the film screening, so
yeah,
you do need to go and register on the website,
yeah,
correct?
It would be nice. It's not too late to register online now. We are entertaining walk-ins. I'm sure we can take extra, like 10 people over the limit. But what we're trying to do is also make life a bit easier for the workshop operators, so that we, because they need to prepare materials.
Mm-hmm.
So head on to clef.my, click on those workshop link and you can see. And not all workshops require payment. Some of them are free.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, the majority of them are free, but it would be nice if you can sign up.
Okay. And are the film screenings also free or is there a small fee involved?
There is a small fee. It's a donation fee for us to run
okay.
the festival next year. So
of course.
Think it's like 5 ringgit, 10 ringgit. And you can watch maybe like 5-10 films per session. So it's definitely a steal.
Okay. All right. And I guess, you know, 11 years now, I mean, what challenges remain? What challenges, you know, do you still need to overcome?
Challenges vary year by year. And I think, you know, if there are no challenges, then it won't be an interesting journey, you know.
Fair enough.
It has a lot to do with partnerships. It has a lot to do with getting good host to host us, as well as, you know, working with, you know, amazing media that are supportive as well. So the challenges come and go. I don't want to dwell too much on it because if any of you out there are keen to look at how you want to start a festival or an environmental activity, we open our doors to educate people on where are the do's and don'ts, and maybe we can share a bit of our learning curve as well, mm-hmm. so that we can encourage more youngsters out there to run and empower themselves to create platforms such as this. So I think challenges is part of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's given, and it's really, I'm just really glad that we have an amazing team that can hack into troubleshooting and addressing all these things.
Okay. And like you said, you're already planning for next year. So I guess if anyone's listening and they're interested to participate,
yes.
It's never too late. It's never too early to actually get
never
in touch.
Never too early. We don't really stop planning for the festival.
Sure.
We just want more people on board because eventually it's really the same environment that we all share.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much, Yasmin.
Thank you, Juliet.
So the festival will take place from the 22nd to the 29th of October. That's this week at Publica in Solaris. And if you want to find out more, the website is, of course, kleff.my. I've been speaking to Yasmin Rashid. She's the founder and president of Econights. And we were discussing the 11th Kuala Lumpur Eco Film Festival 2018, whose theme is Forest, Water and Climate Change. If you miss any part of this interview or any previous Earth Matters interviews, you can search for the podcast on our BFM app, available on Google Play and the App Store. This has been Earth Matters on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.